Well, hello everyone and welcome to ENBC at Home. Great to have you joining today, and we've got a great service ahead. We're going to hear in a moment from Rory about Acts 4:35, a great new initiative for you to hear about. We've got different clips coming, we've got worship, and then Rory's going to be opening God's Word from Luke chapter 10 for us today. Over the last few weeks, we have been thinking about what it means, you know, a new way of living, our vision, where we follow Jesus as we live connected and be transformed and change our world. And believing as we do so, God is growing us in our walk with Him, but God's Spirit's also at work, bringing those who are far from Jesus into that wonderful new life that so many of us know ourselves. Today we're going to be thinking about changing our world, and that's mission. That's those great words of Jesus when He says, go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, with that great promise that He is with us always. So that's going to be our focus for today. You know, we are a sent out people, called out to take the love of Jesus into the lives of those around us. Before we get into all that wonderful stuff, some church news for you. It was great to have our church meeting on Thursday past. I love seeing some of your faces that I've not seen in ages. That was wonderful. And at this meeting, we made the decision to formally start the process of moving the church from being a UVA to a SKEEL, changing the charity status of the church. And if you need any more information about that, then please just get in touch with me. Also, Restore is on this Thursday evening, and the church office is closed this week. Mary's on holiday, so if you would like to book an appointment for Restore this Thursday evening, then please contact myself and I will book you in. It's really important that you book in advance for coming to Restore. And let me encourage you to come along. I know many folk have been doing so. It's a great opportunity to come and receive prayer in your life. Also, just to keep you updated, a few weeks ago we shared about we're updating our tech equipment in the church to be able to do recording, and that will just give us some different options as we go forward. They've been an incredible team working really hard. I think they've laid nearly 800 metres of new cabling to go in place. And so they are pressing on with that. One of the challenges, I was sharing this on Thursday at the church meeting, is that everyone wants this technology, as you can imagine. And so some of the equipment that you would maybe usually only wait 2-3 days for, it's kind of taking 2 weeks to come. But we are still working hard at that, and so thankful for the team of folk that are committed to doing that. That is church news. I'm just going to pray for us now, and then I'll hand over to Rory, who's going to tell you about Acts 4:35, and there'll be some worship, and then into God's Word. So let us pray together. Father God, we come to You today just so thankful that You are in our lives. Today we open our hearts, we open our minds, we open all of our life to You, and we just come before You. We just want to worship You and lift our voices in praise and adoration to You. You know, You're everything to us. And we want to just declare that this morning. You are everything to us. You are our hope. You are our rock. You're the reason we live. And we just thank You for that. Lord, we thank You for Your grace. We thank You for Your love. We thank You for Your forgiveness in our lives. And we just pray and ask now that through the power of Your Holy Spirit, You would be at work in the life of every person who watches this today. And we just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go over to Rory now.
Good morning, church family. I hope you're all well. Unfortunately, I've got a bit of a cold. I'm a bit stuffed up. So please do bear with me this morning. I appreciate all of your patience and your prayers as well. The kids had a cold and they're very generous and they love to share, and they have shared it with Chloe and I. We've all been tested for COVID and that's all negative. Thank God, but I appreciate your grace this morning. I just want to update you all about a new church partnership with Acts 4:3-5, which is an organization inspired by the work of the early church and disciples who shared all that they had, all of their material possessions and money they had in common, as we read in Acts 2, and they shared among those who had need, as we read in Acts 4:3-5. And they're doing an amazing work, helping people who have a specific need get in contact with people all across the nation and organizations, churches, all across the nation to contribute to help meeting that need. So how does this work? Well, the church advocate, and our advocate is the wonderful Myra Nickel, will post a request online, knowing the need in the community, and people in the church, ourselves, will contribute, as well as people all across the nation and churches will contribute to meeting this need, whatever it might be. It could be, for example, someone's boiler's broken down, someone's washing machine, could be maybe kids are back to school, the kids need a laptop, the family are unable to afford it, and they would get in touch with us and we would put this on Act 4:3-5, and people from all across the neighborhood help contribute to meeting this need, all making up and all gifting small amounts to meet a bigger need. And this is just helping lift the burden and helping stop crisis situations, helping the most vulnerable people in our society. So as we partner with Acts 4:3-5, Myra Nickel is our advocate. So if anyone knows of a need in the community, within a family or a situation, please get in touch with Myra Nickel through the church office's email, which is available on the website. Or if you want more information about it, you can look on Acts 4:3-5's website, or get in touch with Myra through the office email with any questions. Mary is going to lead us in some worship.
Good morning. It's nice to be worshiping with you this morning. I just thought I would take the chance this morning before beginning the worship to say hello and send best wishes from our house to yours, and just check in that everyone's doing okay. Just to give you a wee update, I'm a secondary teacher, which most of you probably know. I've been back at school now for about 5 weeks, and although we've had a few, you know, incidences of COVID-related illnesses and people being off, we're all doing fine. We're just sanitising everything that moves, spraying it down, wiping it down, cleaning between the kids coming in, wearing our masks when we need to do it and things like that. And we are just getting on with it and getting used to it, I think, as everybody is in every situation they find themselves in. So last week, I was starting to realise that in our school we're calling it the new normal. The new normal is that we do this, the new normal is that we do that. And I'm sure you've heard that used before. And if you're anything like me, you might have moments of thinking, oh, I wish it wasn't the new normal, I wish it was just the same as it was, or go back to the same. And there was one morning I was driving to work last week, and I was thinking about that for some reason, and then what just really popped in my head was like God sort of saying to me, you know, I'm not a new normal, I'm the same. You need to lean on that. You need to remember that in all of this, I am God and I am the same. And that was kind of a bit of a revelation for me. And I thought, you know, that's right. You know, although we're not sure what's going to happen tomorrow or what's going to happen next week or 2 months' time or, you know, for Christmas or when we're, you know, things like that, we don't know the future, but God does. And that was a real reassurance for me. So a few verses popped into my mind, just encouraging ones about God being the same. And I'm going to read a couple of them now just as we begin, just to focus our minds on, you know, that fact that though lots of things is going on round about us are different, there's a new normal in the world. For God, there's no new normal. He remains the same as he's always been. Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever. Malachi 3, verse 6. For I, the Lord, do not change. Psalm 90, verse 2. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Finally, 1 Peter 1, verses 24 and 25. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that we can trust you and rely on you at your word, that you do not change, that you remain the same forever. And Father, I just pray for each of us this morning that we would just grasp that afresh. I pray for anybody this morning who maybe just needed to hear that when there's uncertainty in the world or uncertainty in what's going on in life, the one true security we have is you and in being in you and trusting you. So Lord, I pray this morning that we would just move just that little step closer to you in our trust that you know the plans you have for us, you know the future that you have for us, and we can rely on you. So I just thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Who was?
Good morning, church family, and everyone tuning in with us this morning at East Mains. We are going through our discipleship pathways at church, and we're on the third step, change your world mission. And I love this quote when thinking about mission from Teresa of Avila, who said, Christ has no body on earth but yours, no hands but yours, no feet but yours. Yours are the eyes through which the compassion of Christ looks out to the world. Yours are the feet with which he is to go about doing good. Yours are the hands with which he is to bless others with now. And this is just a wonderful reminder of the divine reality that God uses these hands. God uses your hands, your voice, your feet, your life to be an image of Christ into the lives of others. And that is so, it's an incredible privilege and responsibility, and it's so humbling that in all of our weakness, in all of our frailty and in our imperfections and how finite we are, God uses us. What an encouragement. God uses you, and God wants to use you, invites us into his work of mission on this earth. What a wonderful privilege that is. I was reading the other day about the Antonine Plague, and this was around between 150 to 200 AD, so for quite a long time, God willing. That will not be comparable to our situation. But it was around for 50 years in the Roman Empire, and it was incredibly deadly and very contagious, and it killed around 1 in 3 Roman citizens, which is incredible. The Roman Empire was so massive, and as massive as it was with all the resources it had, the empire was unable to really do anything to try and stop this plague from spreading. Families were abandoning each other on the street, trying to save themselves, fleeing the empire, and religious leaders were doing the same as politicians, fleeing the empire to try and save themselves. And at this time of everyone fleeing and trying to save themselves, the church didn't. And we see that after the Antonine Plague, the church had a massive exponential growth in people coming to saving faith in Jesus, that there was a huge time of revival all throughout the Roman Empire, to such a degree that Christianity became the religion of the empire. So why and how did this happen, this massive growth in people coming to faith? One of the reasons could be that people knew in a new way, that they knew in a new way, if you follow what I'm saying, the reality of death, of the fallenness of this world and of their sin, that they were, as David said, one step away from death. That death is coming, 100% of people die. And that is the reality. The coronavirus doesn't change that. And masks and hand sanitizer, distance, and that doesn't change that reality. But it reminds us of it. So they need a hope beyond this life that transcends even death. It's defeated death, and that is Jesus. And another variable for this was, historians have actually found that if you were alive at the time of this plague in the empire and knew a Christian, had a connection to the church, your chances of survival were drastically increased, because the church was giving it food, giving it water, shelter, compassion, love, company, being truly the hands and feet of Jesus into the lives of others, and sharing with them the reality of the bread of life, of God's grace in Jesus. And people were saved came to faith. And it was an incredible witness to hear about. And I pray that that witness that we would be that witness during this time of coronavirus, that God would bless the ministries, the work that is going on with the food bank, and people keeping in touch with each other, being God's the hands and feet, the voice, the image of Christ into the lives of others, and that we would see people saved by Jesus as the gospel's going out. You know, thousands of hours being put online every week, the gospel being spread in a new way at this time of lockdown. So let's have a think about mission this morning. Jesus gives instructions about mission in Luke chapter 10, verses 1 to 12. Jesus is sending out his disciples, and it is the wider group of disciples, the 72 disciples he's given instructions to, and sending them out before him. But as we hear these verses, as I read them, let's not just hear Jesus giving instructions to these 72 disciples, but let's hear Jesus speak to us personally, speaking into our lives, his disciples, about mission, his instructions for us in our lives on how to go out before him and share the peace of God to others, like sheep among wolves, depending on him and his power, his word and spirit. So let's hear the words of Jesus this morning, where he has called us in our workplaces, in our families, with our friends, among the people he's called us to be his hands, his voice, his image to. Luke chapter 10, 1 to 12. The Lord now chose 72 other disciples and sent them ahead in pairs to all the towns and places he planned to visit. These were his instructions to them. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who's in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send out more workers into his fields. Now go and remember that I'm sending you out as lambs among wolves. Don't take any money with you, nor a traveler's bag, nor an extra pair of sandals. And don't stop to greet anyone on the road. Whenever you enter someone's home, first say, may God's peace be on this house. If those who live there are peaceful, the blessing will stand. If they are not, the blessing will return to you. Don't move around from house to house. Stay in one place, eating and drinking what they provide. Don't hesitate to accept hospitality, because those who work deserve their pay. If you enter a town and it welcomes you, eat whatever is set before you. Heal the sick and tell them the kingdom of God is near you now. But if a town refuses to welcome you, go out into its streets and say, we wipe even the dust of your town from our feet to show that you have abandoned, to show that we have abandoned you to your fate. And know this, that the kingdom of God is near. I assure you, even wicked Sodom will be better off than such a town on Judgment Day. So in the world that we're in this locked down place and time that we're in with such fear of coronavirus, social distancing, the idea of going into people's homes is just out of the question. Social interactions, we're nostalgic about them. You know, there's face masks and covering up, staying away from others. How can we be a people of mission in a time like this? Well, the primary instruction of Jesus in these verses, pray to the Lord of the harvest about the harvest. Pray. You know, there's a wonderful book called A Celebration of Discipline by Richard Foster. And he writes that prayer is the heart's true home. And that is so wonderfully true. And he goes on to, you know, just like a child is unable to do a bad drawing for their parents. And actually, I've got one of April's works of art right here. I helped her out with some of it, but it's quite, there's the sun here. You've got a wonderful landscape. I think it's the beach, and she's put some stickers of some crabs, half a panda, it's some dolphin and some birds. It's a wonderful, precious drawing. And Foster writes that, you know, just like a child cannot do a bad drawing for their parents, as we come before God openly with our hearts to Him, bringing ourselves before Him, we can't say a bad prayer to God. God accepts us, our honest, heartfelt prayers as they are. God loves us in all of our fallenness and brokenness and our fumbling around. God loves you. Come before Him in prayer. The number one thing that Jesus asks us to do when thinking about mission, thinking about sharing His gospel, going out before in the primary, the first instruction, pray to the Lord of the harvest about the harvest. Whether we have the gift of evangelism or not, it is on all of God's church, all His people, to be praying about mission. When we pray about mission, we're putting ourselves in the right position before God, in total reliance on Him. As we pray, it becomes all about Him, His guidance, His grace, His power, His will, and not about us, not about our gifts, not about our talents and our studies and knowing all the answers and our apologetic skills. But it becomes all about Him. And this is the divine reality of mission. The power of saving souls is God's. He builds His church. He raises the dead in sin to life in Jesus. So as we pray to God about mission, about sharing His gospel, we are reminding ourselves of that divine reality. He builds His church. He saves souls. We are invited to simply share the reality of that, that God saves. By His grace, we are saved through faith in Jesus. To share that truth, God uses it and God saves, you know, and that's not on us. And that is a massive weight and relief for us. You know, it's that the work of saving isn't on us. That is on God. We simply are obedient in sharing the truth of what God's done in our life, saved by grace through faith in Jesus. And God uses it. So let's take a minute to be obedient to this first primary instruction of Jesus and take some time to pray. To pray to the Lord of the harvest, about the harvest for more workers. The harvest is absolutely plentiful, plentiful in all of our lives. Where God has put us, you know, in our homes. Who has God put around us that needs to know the grace of God in Christ? And how can we be the hands of Jesus in their life? How can we be the voice, the feet, the image of Christ to them? To pray for wisdom in that. In our workplaces, at college, in school, among our friends, to pray about these things, bring all these things to God. If we could pause the service just now and take some time to pray about these things, if we could do that just now. Fantastic. So I'm assuming you've taken some time just now to pray to the Lord of the Harvest about mission, about these things, bringing our lives, our whole selves to God, that we would be the hands and feet of Jesus, the voice and image of Christ into the lives of others, that God would give us wisdom and boldness to do that into the lives of others. Let's every day this week, as East Mains Baptist Church's church family, do that. Fulfill that first primary instruction of Jesus in Luke 10. pray to the Lord of the harvest about the harvest, about mission, for more workers, that we would see people come to saving faith in Jesus every day this week. Set a reminder on your phone just now. Remind each other through your life groups and through WhatsApps and whatnot to keep up to date and keep one another accountable in this, praying about mission, being obedient to the words of Jesus here. So verses 3 and 4, Jesus says, "Now go and remember that I'm sending you out as lambs among wolves. Don't take any money with you or a traveler's bag or an extra pair of sandals, and don't stop to greet anyone on the road. First, we pray about mission and then we go. We do the work of mission, going to where God's called us to be a witness of the gospel." And Jesus is being real with us. The going will not be easy. It will be far from easy. We will face danger. We'll face obstacles. There will be bumps in the road. Expect these things. We're going out as lambs among wolves. But the dangers that we face nowadays are different from what they would have been then. We're very unlikely, when we go to our friends and tell them about the grace of God and Jesus, we're very unlikely to be stoned. We are likely not going to have swords drawn against us, maybe, but it's very unlikely that we'll face these things as we go out and share the gospel. But there are still dangers, deadly things that we will face. But these things are apathy, indifference to mission, fear, the fear of being rejected, the fear of not being liked, of not being popular, the fear of standing out, the fear of losing the comforts that we have in life, the fear of not being accepted by others, of not being politically correct, maybe. Have an honest think about this question. Do we have a heart for mission? Do we have a heart for sharing Jesus with others? If not, it could be because we're not fulfilling this first instruction of Jesus, praying about mission. Is that a priority in our prayer lives? To be praying about mission, to be praying to the Lord of the harvest about the harvest, because it is a priority for God. God is a God of mission. I remember about a year after moving to East Kilbride, I was on the phone to my mum and dad, and they noticed a slight difference in the way that I was speaking. And it wasn't because I was joked with a cold, but they noticed a bit of a west of Scotland kind of twang to the things that I was saying. And I think I'd said, "So it is," at the end of a sentence. And I don't think that's particularly a west of Scotland thing, but they noticed, you're kind of speaking a bit differently there. But that's what happens, isn't it? You know, when you move somewhere new and spend time with the people there, you pick up their way of life, their accents and what they do, culture and whatnot. You just pick these things up subconsciously, kind of just through osmosis, as you spend time with them. And this is the same in prayer. God's heart is one of mission and sharing and reaching out to others. When we spend time with God in prayer, we know more the heart of God. We share more the heart of God. The more time we spend in God's word, in prayer, the spiritual disciplines we looked at before lockdown, the more we do these things, the more we share in his heart and will. As we do this first instruction of Jesus, to pray to God about mission, for mission, our passion, our heart, our appetite for mission will grow, and the going that we see in verse 3 will naturally flow out from our lives. Verse 5 to 7. Whenever you enter someone's home, first say, may God's peace be on this house. If those who live in it are peaceful, the blessing will stand. If they're not, the blessing will return to you. Don't move around from home to home. Stay in one place. Eating and drinking, whatever they provide, don't hesitate to accept hospitality, because those who work deserve their pay. The peace of God is massive. It's so much more than just a lack of aggression, a lack of violence. And the Bible Project, which is a wonderful YouTube channel, actually has a fantastic video about the peace of God, or the shalom of God, which is the Hebrew word for peace. And it describes, you know, that word shalom was often used to describe very well built buildings and walls. If you can imagine a perfectly built wall with all of the bricks in the right place, lining up perfectly, you know, and none of them out of position, none of them cracked, none of them damaged, everything being just right. That would have been described as shalom. And in life, when we have those moments of everything just falling into place, everything just being right, you know, the kids are happy, everything seems to be well, the bills have been paid, work is done, things are in order. And I know those moments are rare, but they do happen. We get a glimpse, we experience some shalom in that way, some peace. But when some of the bricks are out of place and the parts of life are not right and they're missing, it affects the rest of the wall, affects the rest of our life, and there's no shalom, no peace, and things get out of order and out of place. And because of sin, we don't have peace with God. We don't have shalom with God. That connection between us and God has been disrupted because of sin. It's been broken. But Jesus, the Prince of Peace, the Prince of Shalom, has come, taking on our sin, taking on the punishment for our sin, paying the price for it in death, and has been raised to life, giving us resurrected new life. We've been made a new creation, and he's brought shalom, but peace between us and God. There is no greater gift that we can offer someone than the peace of God in Jesus. But Jesus gives us a heads up in these verses that not everyone is going to want to hear that. There will be people who refuse, who reject that peace of God. And Jesus says a very interesting thing, that when someone rejects this blessing of peace, it will be returned to you, which is a fascinating thing to say. It's almost like it is a physical thing you give to someone, and then they either accept and keep it, or it is returned to you. And I find these words of Jesus so encouraging, because if you can imagine what it would be like, what it is like when we share the gospel with someone, share the truth of Jesus saving us to them, and they reject it, they refuse it. In our minds, this is anything but peaceful, anything but a blessing. It is all the things that we think about it are negative, you know, that the rejection will make us cynical, make us bitter, and we who would want rejection in that way? But Jesus promises that we will know peace in the times of rejection, in the times of being refused, in the times of not being listened to. We will be blessed and we will know peace. What an amazing encouragement these words of Jesus are. The rest of these verses, verses 8 to 12. If you enter a town and it welcomes you, eat whatever they set before you. Heal the sick and tell them the kingdom of God is near you now. But if the town refuses to welcome you, go out into its streets and say, we wipe even the dust of your town from our feet to show that we have abandoned you to your fate. And know this, that the kingdom of God is near. I assure you, even wicked Sodom will be better off than such a town on judgment day. Wow. Wow. Jesus does not hold back here. And Jesus goes on in the next verses, give them a read in 13, 14, 15, 16. Jesus gives a strong, a severe rebuke to unrepentance for sin, to people who do not repent of their sin. Sin is incredibly serious to God. This is a matter of life and death. Let's remember, these are the words of Jesus, the instructions that Jesus has given his disciples as they go out and prepare the way for him, to warn people about the reality of God's kingdom coming. For those who repent and turn to Jesus, this will be the most wonderful news. God's kingdom is near. And for others unrepentant of sin, this is not good news. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a matter of life and death. If Jesus didn't pay for your sin, you will. If Jesus hasn't died for your sin and isn't your savior, you will die for your sin. The gospel is a message of divine love, divine grace, and also divine justice. That is the absolute wonder and beauty and mystery of the cross. As that hymn says, the justice of God kissed the mercy of God upon the cross. God is infinitely just, infinitely more just than us. However just we think we are, God is unimaginably more just than us. And God's justice is good news. We look at the world, so fallen and full of injustice, and we see it on the news. The world cries out for justice. And God is just and is bringing justice. Incredibly wonderful news that we rejoice in. But at the same time, it's terrible news for us. Because what does a just God do with us sinners, with guilty sinners and criminals who have broken his law? By God's grace, by his amazing grace, this is the gospel. He has stepped down from his throne to be among us. He has come down to take our place, to take on our sin and the punishment for our transgressions, paying the price completely, wholly, fully, setting us free. Like the hymn says, God's mercy and God's justice kissed upon the cross. The wonderful news of the gospel. And we're all invited to share the reality of that, not holding any of it back, into the lives of others, that they would know God's saving grace in their life, and that we would be the hands and the feet, the voice of Jesus into the lives of others, as St. Francis put it, that we would be a channel of God's peace into the lives of others. I want to just read that hymn written by St. Francis, make me a channel of your peace, and I pray that this would be so in all of our lives, that we would live out these instructions of Jesus, and that we would be like the early church in the Roman Empire without that Antonine plague, that we would be the hands, the feet, the voice, the image of Christ into the lives of others, that we would see so many saved by God's grace. Make me a channel of your peace. If you can hear these words, maybe close your eyes just to focus on these words, that they would be so in our lives. Where there is hatred, let me bring your love. Where there is injury, your pardon, Lord. Where there is doubt, true faith in you. Make me a channel of your peace. Where there's despair in life, let me bring hope. Where there is darkness, only light. And where there is sadness, ever joy. O Master, grant that I may never seek so much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love with all my soul. Make me a channel of your peace. It is in the pardoning that we are pardoned, in the giving to all men and women that we receive, and in dying that we are born to eternal life. Lord God, thank you for the wonderful truth that it is in the dying that we are born to eternal life. May you, by your Spirit, by your power, make us your hands, your feet, your voice, your image into the lives of those around us, Lord. That we would see you through us, using us, building your church. Make us an instrument, a tool in your hand to build your church in this place, in East Kilbride, in this nation, in our families, in our homes, and beyond. Lord Jesus, amen. We have our harvest service coming up soon, and Neil Engle is going to give us an update about that just now.
Hello everyone. It's coming to harvest time this year, and as part of the overseas mission team, I just wanted to give you an update on what we'll be doing this year. As normal, we'll be giving an offering to the food bank, and this will be done as part of our harvest donation. If you'd like to give food donations or money, then Mary Withers and Rory O'Brien will be at the church on the 3rd of October from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. So people can just kind of drop these things off there. In the next couple of weeks, we're going to be doing our BMS mission appeal through the church service. And this year, we're going to be focusing on Operation Chad. And we'll give more information upon how our money can be really used greatly in that area. As we'll not have a physical church building to attend, we've had to be a bit more inventive in ways that we can give. Two ways that people can give are either picking up an envelope at the church when they're going off to drop their food donations at the food bank or whenever. This can be done then. And the second and probably most convenient way is to be giving online. We'll put a church link website onto the BMS site in order for you to give there. And this would be great if you can kind of be really praying about this and thinking how you'll be able to give and kind of partnering God's work locally and globally for his glory. Okay, thanks very much and God bless.
Thank you for sharing that with us, Neil. And we are looking forward to our harvest service in a few weeks' time. Thank you to Rory to sharing for us from Luke 10 there. I just love that section of scripture where God sends out his disciples. And God sends us all out into different locations. And certainly for myself, one of the areas that God has sent me out into over 14 years in ministry has been chaplaincy opportunities. And you know, chaplaincy takes place in many different areas. You've got chaplains in schools, chaplains in offices, chaplains in hospitals, chaplains in football teams. And when I think about chaplaincy, I've got a wee kind of a phrase that I always kind of use to describe chaplaincy work. And it's about being present in people's lives. It's about building relationships with people. And it's about being alert and ready to respond to the move of the Spirit in people's lives. And, you know, I've done chaplaincy work in different areas, with the school chaplaincy that we've done. And that's, in some ways, that's quite prescribed as to what you do. You're there to bring religious observance into the school. Many of the schools teach Christianity as part of their curriculum. So there's opportunities there. Before lockdown, you know, David and Rory and others from some of the local churches were running a scripture union. And some of the local schools that the children kind of choose to come along to. So there's always great opportunities in schools. You remember, I did football chaplaincy for about 3 seasons. And again, that was just about being present, building relationships with players and other folk in the club, and being ready to respond to the Spirit as he moved at times. For myself right now, you know, school chaplaincy, like, it is challenging during lockdown, and we're just thinking of creative ways around that. But actually, in the start of this year, back in January 2020, God opened up a new opportunity of chaplaincy for me. And actually, it had been a long process. I became a reserve army chaplain, but it was a long process of 18 months of going through different tests and different interviews that I had to go through. But again, just something really exciting that God has called me into, that God has sent me into this chaplaincy role, where I can be present with reserve soldiers, where I can build relationships with them, and where I can just be praying and looking for a move of the Spirit in a way that I can engage and share the love of Jesus with the soldiers that I come into contact with. So I'm really excited about that new opportunity. Again, it's been a bit difficult due to lockdown to really get into it in the way that I would have liked to have done so. But I'm looking forward to maybe being able to do more of that in the future. At the same time, I would not be lying to you, you know, chaplaincy work can be really hard at times, you know. At times, folk look like at you as if you've got two heads. And I'm sure you've experienced this in some of your own settings. You know, when you say you're a Christian, you know, probably some of your work colleagues maybe think, you're a what? You're a Christian, you know. But when you look at the life of Jesus, he was always willing to place himself in tough situations. You know, I often think about the story of Zacchaeus. You know, nobody wanted anything to do with Zacchaeus. They all just ignored him. They all just saw him as a horrible man. And yet Jesus placed himself into the light, into this man's life. He said, you know, I'm coming to your house to have dinner with you, Zacchaeus. And you know, he's building a relationship with him. And the power of God moved in Zacchaeus' life. And his life was transformed. So I want to encourage you today. You know, as I was thinking about this week, Rory just asked me to share a little bit about chaplaincy. But as I was thinking about it, I thought, you know, in many ways, we're all called to be chaplains to a group of people around us. It could be your family setting, could be your work setting, your friendship setting, could be some sort of a club that you're involved in. God has placed you there because he wants you to care. He wants you to love the people around you. He wants you to be present. He wants you to build relationships, and he wants you to be alert to the move of his Holy Spirit for the opportunities to share the good news of Jesus Christ. So as we come to close, we're going to go in a time of worship in a moment, but let me just encourage you just to really today think about, is there a group of people, is there a person that God's laying on your heart for you to be? You know, he's placed you there. That's where he sent you, into that group. And maybe it's really tough. Maybe it is your work setting or something like that, and you think, oh, it's hard at times. Well, you know what? That's where he's placed you, and he'll give you the strength for all that he plans for you to do in that setting. You know, the harvest is plentiful. That's a really encouraging, those words in Luke 10. The harvest is plentiful, and we are God's workers. We are sent people, sent out on mission. So let me encourage you in your own life to be present, to build relationships with the people God brings you into contact with, and to be alert to the move of his Holy Spirit and the opportunities that creates for you. So we're going to go into worship now, and let us, just as we come near the end of our service today, just lift our voices in praise and worship to God. Yours. Thank you so much for everyone who's participated in our service today. Thank you for joining us today. And I do pray indeed that you have just been encouraged and known the presence of God just working and ministering in your life today. You know, tonight we've got our church prayer meeting at 6:30 p.m. Some of us have been gathering just for a time of prayer. Particularly bringing some of the challenges and issues that this coronavirus has raised to God in prayer. And I just really welcome you to join us. If you want to contact, sign in details for that, then just contact myself or Al about that. Also, as always, if you need any help, do not hesitate to get in touch with us. And, you know, this has been a difficult week for us all as kind of lockdown. You know, we were enjoying, weren't we? Going to maybe see some friends in their home, or I know some of the life groups were meeting in smaller numbers, socially distanced, and now that's all been curtailed, and that's been difficult for us all. So if you are struggling, or if you just want to talk to someone, then please do get in touch with us. As we come to close then, let me again just lead us in a word of prayer as we come to the end of our service. Father God, we thank you for all that you have done in our lives today. We thank you, Lord, that you rescued us. You saved us through your Son, Jesus Christ. And in turn, you send us out on that great mission to share your good news to the people around us. Father, it can be tough at times. And I pray for someone who's maybe this morning just feeling a bit discouraged. Maybe they're, you know, they're going into their workplace and they're looking for opportunities and all they seem to get is resistance and maybe people actually just being quite horrible to them because they follow you. Father, I pray if that is someone who's listening to this today, that you would really strengthen them, that you would just make them very aware of the fact that though they might not see anything happening, your spirit is at work in the lives of those around him. We always remember the story of the Apostle Paul, you know, this guy who was out to destroy Christianity, destroy all your followers, and yet you met him on that road to Damascus and you completely changed his life. We've all got that sort of story to tell. And so, Lord, when we see everyone around us, we don't write anyone off, because your love and your grace and the power of your Spirit is at work and can bring anyone to faith in you. And we just know that for sure, Father God. So, Lord, I just pray that you would just encourage us all to live lives where we're looking to share the good news of Jesus Christ with those around us. Father, we thank you for how we've been able to meet today, dispersed as we are, been able to gather today and just worship you and praise you. And you, we just ask, Lord, that you would get all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for joining with us today, and enjoy the rest of your day. And may you know God's peace and power and presence in your life this week ahead. Amen.